Welcome to this series of Publifunded Climate Connected podcasts, where we talk to people involved in community climate action all around Ireland. Energy Cooperatives Ireland has worked with dozens of Irish sustainable communities and has established 5 fully operational energy cooperatives. Many of these communities have become innovators and promoters of the carbon-free society at the local level and in some cases at the national level. I'm here talking today to Sean Carland, who is the Community Climate Action Officer with Mulroney Community Futures. I'm Maeve Halpin, and these podcasts are available on climateconnected.ie. So Sean, there's an enormous amount of very progressive work happening down in Mulroney in West Mayo. And as I understand it, the Community Futures model was something that was brought over from Scotland originally and has been implemented very successfully in the village of Mulroney. So maybe you could tell us how that started and what that model is about.
Sure, Maeve. Thanks and delighted to be here. Community Futures originated from Scotland, and it was brought to Mayo over 20 years ago by 2 community activists, Terry Gallagher and Sister Maureen Lally. And it is a system of what's called participative democracy. In other words, community are asked to design their place, not just to consult on a design that has been developed somewhere else. So it engages every single household and asks the community how they would like to see their place in, say, 5 or 10 years' time. And they identify important features of the area and important projects for them.
And how did that evolve then in the Mulroney area initially?
So I suppose by people participating in this design process, they gain ownership of this future place that they'd like to be. And they get to prioritise projects in it. And then they get an opportunity to put their names forward to contribute to some of the projects that are in there. So what you have out of that is an agreed strategy that is everybody's plan. It's not just somebody's plan. But also then one of the key things that we developed in Mulroney through Community Futures is a cooperative group that was representative of all the other groups. So Edgar Parnell said in the book Cooperative, the Beautiful Idea, to deliver transformative change, you create the vision and you implement the vision. And together, the community in Mulroney created a vision together and we've implemented the vision together. And that Community Futures process has enabled that, and it has brought about transformative change over the last 10 years in Mulroney.
Fantastic. So this was developed really in cooperation with the Mayo County Council. Would that
yes.
be correct?
Yes, it was. Yeah. So Mayo County Council, to their credit, thought that this was a good idea in terms of community empowerment. And they funded community coordinators. So when the surveys were delivered by the community, they were compiled and the themes were drawn out by the local authority, if you like, independent of the community. And that gave a certain level of assurance to the community that the process was fair and independent and the priorities were not being dictated to, say, locally. So they have continuously invested in that. And one of the key things was that the plans are published. And this is a really important point for communities or anyone in public endeavour, is in terms of getting a plan published. It's a huge step forward in terms of actually seeing it implemented. Having it out there in the public space where everyone can see it, where the community and the politicians are held accountable then to deliver it is key. So, yeah, Mayo County Council did fund that. And there's now over 30 communities in Mayo that have Community Futures plans. And Mulroney has now done 3 Community Futures plans. So in some ways, Mulroney is an exemplar of participative democracy in the sense of engaging the community to develop their own space. And that has really been hugely significant in us making progress in terms of sustainability and other community initiatives.
Fantastic. So it's created a very vibrant space in the area then, really, where people are committed and they're cooperating and producing something new.
Yeah, so one of the interesting things there in terms of the cooperation is that we, like a lot of communities, we have active groups. So Community Futures respects, if you like, the sovereignty of those groups. So as a coordinating group, we don't get involved in the work, say, of the Tidy Towns or other environmental groups. We specialise, if you like, in terms of doing our strategy and having and coordinating. So one of the examples of that is that we have a coordinated insurance policy where all the groups are insured through one policy. So the Community Futures coordinates that. So you have greater efficiency. We also specialise in finance as well. So we would go to the credit union or to the Western Development Commission for loans on behalf of, say, smaller groups that don't have a legal constitution. So we found a niche role in terms of coordination and strategic planning, and groups do other operational things, and there's mutual respect for those roles, and it works very well.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, shared expertise there, really. Yes.
Yeah, well, uh-huh. I actually make a comparison, but maybe it's a little bit humorous in terms of, it's a bit like the European Union where they talk about areas of competency. And we have our area of competency, which is in the strategic planning and coordination. And we focus very much on that. Whereas each group in the community then have their areas of competency. And we work to collaborate and support each other with that mutual respect.
Okay, fantastic. So can you tell us about the Clew Bay Tourism Steering Network? That's one of the projects,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So I'm a representative of Marani on the Clew Bay Tourism Network. So the Clew Bay Tourism Network is an initiative of Fáilte Ireland, and it's part of the Wild Atlantic Way. So as you're probably familiar, the Wild Atlantic Way stretches right from Kerry to Donegal, and it's an initiative to promote Ireland all over the world. But within that, there are these local destination development plans that are developed by Fáilte Ireland. And what they do there is similar to Community Futures. They ask the community and the local businesses how tourism should develop in the area. And they come up with a plan, again, like Community Futures, and they put in place a steering committee, a coordinating committee. So on that, you have various agencies from the Marine, you have National Parks and Wildlife Service, you have Mayo County Council and community groups. So we get to discuss tourism and bring different perspectives on it in terms of sustainability, in terms of not just environmental protection, but how can tourism not just enhance the community in terms of social and economic, but ideally also improve the environment. And I think really Fáilte Ireland deserve a lot of credit here, because what they've done is they've socialised tourism and they've allowed communities to bring their energy, their expertise, their concerns, and design those into tourism before they become structural.
Okay. So a lot of collaboration there again, and consultation with the local communities.
Yes. And it has given communities an opportunity to put forward novel ideas. And in Clew Bay, there are several of those. For example, the Dark Sky Park, which, you know, was really conceived in Mayo in terms of 10 years ago, something that people hadn't thought about. And there was a huge interest in dark sky tourism in Mayo at the moment. And for us in Marani, we were able to suggest having a nature reserve in Marani for the Old Irish Goat. And we were also able to suggest having a UNESCO Man and Biosphere Reserve in Mayo. So these kind of novel and progressive ideas were given an airing. And again, they were published as part of that plan, which, as I alluded to earlier, is hugely important.
Okay. What's a dark sky park?
Well, Dark Sky Park is kind of what it says there on the tin. You may not realise this in Dublin in particular. You don't get to see the stars. And in areas in West Mayo, there's still areas that have very little nighttime lighting. And light is actually a form of pollution. You know, it inhibits nocturnal species and it blocks out the stars. So in some areas now, we're working on what's called dark sky friendly light, which is essentially pointing downwards towards the ground and not into the sky. And therefore, the sky is illuminated by the darkness and you get to see the moon and the stars. And it's a very attractive site. And there's a lot of tourism being generated in Mayo around that now.
That's very interesting. A dark sky park.
Yes, a dark sky park. And actually, you see, it's a good example of why it's so important that government and communities work together. Because those novel ideas come from the community. From all of those people that have these different ideas, different experiences. And they get to bring that to the table and work through them. And they get priority then because they are good ideas. But that won't happen unless we have these social networks that respect the experience of other people and bring them together.
Absolutely. And we should say that the website mulranicommunityfutures.com has a lot of information about how these networks are set up and how they're sustained and the kind of projects that can develop from them. So it does provide a template for other people who in their local community might like to initiate some of these, because every area is unique, obviously, and only local people would be aware of where the best dark sky park would be in that local area. So that can be replicated all over the country, emphasising the unique features of each community.
Yes, totally. Like the plans, if people get to look at those, you'll see that they're not complicated. The questions are generic, but the answers will be very specific in terms of people's areas. Those plans, I would say, are eminently doable by other communities. It's the mechanisms that we use to develop them are there. But as I said, the key thing is the coordinating group and having that, knowing our domains and respecting where our competencies are and utilising the existing groups for their expertise and just complementing them with, say, with better coordination or more strategy. And that is the formula that has really been hugely successful in Murani in the last number of years.
Yes, yeah. So how many people do you have on that strategic group?
We have about 10 or 12 on that group, and we meet probably every 6 to 8 weeks. So we review the plan, actually, and that was another sort of interesting piece of work that we did in that we brought the community in to score the progress on the plans. So if we scored 5 out of 5, we got green. If we scored 2 or 3, we got orange. And if we scored 1 or 0, we got red. So we basically did a traffic light on our progress. And it was very open and transparent. And I suppose one of the key things there is that we learned to, if you like, accept or acknowledge failure. Because it's very important to that where we fail is highlighted. And we have the honesty there to have a true analysis of where we are. And in that way, we can escalate where our challenges are to other supporting agencies and get help. So that was a very, very worthwhile exercise for us. And we've repeated that.
So there's a feedback loop built in.
Yeah, there is. And it's done in a very open way. We bring the community in to score it. And it's maybe a little bit challenging if you're associated with some of the efforts.
I'm sure. But then you can't do everything.
Well, as I say, we have to acknowledge where there's failure. And I do think that is an area in terms of strategic planning that we don't do enough of. To have an honest assessment of plans and how they've been implemented is hugely beneficial. And we're trying to practice that in Murani. We would like for our local authorities and agencies and national agencies to do likewise. And I think that way we would have a more honest assessment of where we are and we could you know, we could do better based on doing that.
Well, it also then would highlight where is the lacks, you know, is there a lack of resources? Is there a lack of time? Is there a lack of money? What's holding back certain plans that are not getting off the ground?
Absolutely, yeah. And one of the key things there is goes back to these social networks in terms of having that honest assessment, but also having the agencies, the politicians, the citizens in the room being able to have a respectful conversation around that. But a lot of the solutions are in just getting those people together and having a true assessment of where we are. And those are kind of practices that we're trying to bring in and develop in Murani.
Fantastic. So now tell me about regenerative farming 2023.
Yeah, regenerative farming. So Murani was selected as the decarbonising zone for Murani. And we have, it's 4.5 square kilometres. And there's a lot of commonage and mountain in the area. And there's potentially over 200 farmers with land holdings in the area. So when that happened, there was concerns that there might be restrictions attached to the decarbonising zone. And that's an area that farmers are very conscious of. So we had a lot of engagement with the farmers through that process. And we were delighted with that because I suppose community groups and farming groups have tended not to engage directly that much in our experience. So as part of that process, we established a farmers forum. And one of the great initiatives that is happening now in our area is the Farming for Uplands Restoration and Management, which is a European Innovation Partnership project, and it's looking at how to sustainably farm commonages. Now, commonages are areas of mountain typically that are owned by, it could be owned by a dozen farmers or it could be owned by 50 or 60. And Maeve, commonages are very symbolic actually in the whole sustainability space, because if you think about the Earth's atmosphere, it's a commonage, and it has become a dumping ground for carbon. Because we don't have the structures in place, the cooperative structures in place to treat that atmosphere as a sustainable resource. So in Mulrani, we will be looking at how to manage our commonage sustainably with a lot of people being involved. So that's a whole complicated process. And out of this project, some expertise should flow on that particular subject. And we're really interested in the results of that, that will happen over the next 4 years.
And what's the goal of a decarbonisation zone?
So the decarbonisation zone is, it's kind of what's called a living laboratory. So it's an area where you would experiment and pioneer different methods and ways to reduce carbon. One of the areas that we focused on is regenerative tourism. In terms of regenerative farming, I think it's important to remember that over 30% of our emissions are absorbed by nature, by biodiversity. So it's hugely important that our natural systems are functioning well. Now, they are deteriorating. They have deteriorated significantly. So restoring those natural systems through regenerative farming and through conservation projects is hugely important in terms of contributing to the whole sustainability agenda.
Okay, so it's an experimental zone. You're trying out different things.
It is, yeah, it is. We're progressing, I suppose, standard initiatives, if you like, in terms of retrofits and solar panels and so on. But we would be, I suppose, maybe pioneering in the sense of sand dune restoration. We're looking now at mountain commonages. The example of conserving and utilising the Old Irish Goat as a climate adaption measure in terms of managing gorse in an eco-friendly way. Those are sort of experimental projects that we have successfully delivered, and funnily enough, the Old Irish Goat is being applied in that role on the opposite side of the country, on the East Coast. So our reach actually has grown, if you like, over the last number of years from looking at a wild goat in Murani and how we could conserve it, to having a project that is on the east coast of Ireland and is in other counties looking at how to manage invasive species.
Right, and we should say oldirishgoats.ie has more information on that very fascinating project and a unique goat that is being bred and supported really in Mulrani in the local area now.
Yeah, yeah. We have the website and we have the visitor centre there. And again, it's an example of a novel project that local communities had interest in. You know, just going back to that whole need to have social networks of different people with different ideas. And, you know, one of the principles as talked about by the United Nations in terms of solving climate change is the whole of society, whole of government approach. And in some ways, Murani has been an exemplar of this in that we've engaged every citizen as much as we possibly could to help design a future. And these novel ideas have come forward and we've supported them and they've proven to have added a lot to our sustainability, our regenerative journey.
Absolutely, yes. So it's very much a bottom-up approach rather than a top-down approach. That seems to have contributed to the success of what's happening in Mulrani because local people are invested and interested in these projects that are close to their hearts, really.
It is, yeah. It's a bottom-up approach that has been invested in that is supported by, if you like, a top-down approach, with good examples being Mayo County Council supporting Mayo Community Futures and Fáilte Ireland supporting the tourism initiative in Clubé. So you have these reinforcing social networks that build trust, build respect, and therefore enable sort of novel thinking and sustainable and regenerative thinking to get traction in Murani and County Mayo.
Okay, absolutely. And most people are volunteers, but there are some paid positions as well?
Yeah, so most people are volunteers. I'm on a 10-month contract myself through the Climate Connected project. So the Climate Connected project is a good example, which has been led by University of Galway, and the website is www.climateconnected.ie. It's a good example of Murani connecting in with the universities, in this case, to build expertise. And Climate Connected is sharing our story. So there's a number of case studies from Murani that will be on there, available in various formats. And that's hugely important for us because some of our good initiatives maybe are sort of get lost in time. So they're going to be documented there. And there's also a carbon footprint that's going to be available for communities. And we also are working on other initiatives with universities as well, and including, for example, the Climate Union, which is a voluntary effort of climate of universities across Ireland creating a union, and we're linking in with those. I suppose one of the big advantages, if you like, of linking in with universities is that, you know, they have access to students who want to learn and students who want good examples of projects that they can engage with. So we have found that that connection has been hard to make, but we're starting to achieve it now through the likes of the Climate Connected project. And education institutions have an absolutely massive strategic role to play in charting the way forward in terms of conservation and sustainability. So for communities to be able to engage with the universities is unlocking a lot of potential. And Climate Connected project is a really good example of that.
Absolutely. And I'm sure the universities are only delighted to meet people who are actually on the ground implementing these initiatives.
Yeah, we've had professors and students come out and visit and, you know, look at the Old Irish Goat Centre, meet the Old Irish Goats, go into the tourist office, look at the Doon Conservation. So, you know, it's great for students. It's great for anybody, actually, to be able to get your feet on the ground in a place, meet people directly, see the work that's happening in real time. And there's such a powerful learning impact from that. So, yeah, so these we're breaking down these barriers, and we're as I said earlier, we're starting to achieve this whole of society, whole of government approach in Mulrani, and hopefully others can learn from that.
And this is so completely what we have to do in terms of addressing the climate crisis. There has to be a global approach, really, doesn't there? Where everything is interconnected. If the climate crisis has told us anything, it's that everything is interconnected.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why connecting with the universities is also a way to connect with best practice across the world. And that has been a feature, if you like, that started us, because we learned from Scotland. We also learned from a London-based historian about our old Irish goat. So one of the lessons that we've learned in Mulrani is to really look out for best practice across the world and try and bring that best practice to our local area, as well as listening to our local community and local citizens in terms of how they see the area developing.
Yeah, great. We should mention again your website, Mulrani, that's Mulranny, MulraniCommunityFutures.org, which has documented a lot of your work and your plans and provides a template really for other people around the country who might like to replicate that. It's a tremendous resource. And now you also hosted a huddle in February 2023. What is a huddle? Tell us.
Yeah, a huddle is... I suppose it's a word that kind of describes really a social meeting with purpose, not too formal. But it was a moment for us earlier this year to, we'd been selected as the decarbonising zone for Mulrani for over 2 years. So it was a moment for us to do, as I said earlier, to look at what our plan was and what progress we had made. But what was heartening about the huddle earlier this year was that we had three universities in the room. And we had quite a variety of agencies, including the local link, which, you know, has transformed the transport infrastructure in Mulrani. So we had quite a diverse audience. We also had students there. So it was very representative of how Mulrani's journey has progressed in terms of the diversity, in terms of having national organizations in the room. And in that sense, it was quite symbolic of the progress that we're making in terms of our journey.
Okay. What would you suggest to other people if we're listening, Sean, who would feel that they'd like to initiate something like this in their local area? Where do they start? Do they go to their local county council?
Yes, I think that would be, yeah, definitely would go to their local county council. So their climate action officer, their climate action coordinator. There's now biodiversity officers in practically every county in Ireland. And, you know, we can't forget that biodiversity is a huge part of climate action. So there's a lot of good people now in the local authorities that are very much invested in the space. And there are very good models out there in terms of participative democracy. But they could look at the Mulrani Community Futures .com, look at our Community Futures plans, because they're very accessible. You can see from them that, you know, they're very doable. But I would say that it is important to establish a coordination group and focus on the competencies that the coordinating group can bring that can complement the existing groups that are there. So one of the things, Maeve, actually, in terms of our reviews, that's very much a Japanese operational excellence method. But one of the really important facets of Japanese operational excellence or continuous improvement is to appreciate the design that's there already, to appreciate the groups that are there already, to know what it is that they do, what their domains are, what they do well, and then look at how you can complement that and sustain that. So that would be my advice. Thank you.
Okay. And what competencies do you think are essential in this steering committee, the initial committee?
Being able to good human interaction skills. We had a great initial chair, and one of the things he taught us and insisted on was that we treated other people with respect, and in particular public agencies, because we know that politicians and public servants can come in for a lot of harsh criticism. But he insisted that when we engage each other and state representatives, that we did so with respect. And it had a very calming effect. It helped us build relations with the local authority, but with each other as well. And over time, it started to open up other groups and agencies in terms of sharing resources, because it built trust. So that was certainly something that I particularly learned over the last number of years through Community Futures.
And like, do you think you'd need someone, say, with legal expertise, with financial expertise, with PR expertise? Do you need that kind of diverse group of people in your committee?
Yes, you certainly do. I would say the area of human resource management in terms of training and appreciation, that is, it's a huge area of work. So, you know, you need to run regular events that appreciate volunteers. There's also a huge amount of free training available in terms of helping develop volunteers. But there's a lot of work in that. So I would say that there's definitely a role in the volunteer space there in terms of human resource management. And also in financial management and budgeting is a key area as well. And public relations in terms of communication. Again, a lot of work. I know social media is talked about a lot, but to be able to produce good communications is an ongoing challenge. I do think, as I mentioned earlier, about reviewing plans and having an honest assessment of where they are would be an area that I certainly would give priority to in terms of communications.
Yeah. It takes quite a lot of a team effort, really, with people with expertise from different areas really coming together initially to start this.
It does, yeah, it does. There is good guidance out there in terms of, I suppose, funny sounding words like sociocracy. But if you look up sociocracy, for example, which there are resources available on the net on, it teaches about, you know, setting up groups around these particular topics and how you can coordinate and communicate internally. So that whole area, if you like, of groups working together effectively. There is a lot of good resources out there in terms of how to do that. And I guess that's an area that in Moranee we're hoping to look at more in terms of how to develop. And maybe just one other point then in terms of tourism, we are looking at as well at, sorry, not tourism, coordination at eTowns. Pat Kennedy has done a lot of work in terms of developing communication systems around communities, and we're looking at that as well, because one of the things that we are finding is that people's time is very precious now, and getting good intelligent communication to people requires digital systems. So that whole area in terms of digital systems and digital communications is another area I think that communities do need to focus on.
Yeah, very much so. Well, we're swamped by communications from all over the place and from information, and it could be difficult to discern what's useful and what isn't out of it all.
Absolutely. And that's one of the challenges that we're realizing as well. And if, you know, with the challenge, the great challenges that we face, we need to be able to communicate to our local community through an assured platform that they know is tailored to the information that they need. So that is an area that we're looking at very closely, and we're looking at eTowns as potentially a platform that could work for us in that space. But as I said, we're also looking at some international models like sociocracy to see if we can employ some of those methods to make ourselves more effective as well.
Okay.
So I suppose in essence there, that goes back to this whole point of we learned from the Scottish model. But we want to look at other models, and we want to bring the best practice to bear in terms of community activism, because it's in some ways it's the most important role. It's the biggest challenge, and we need to bring the best processes and systems to bear in this space. And in some ways we're moving against conventional wisdoms there, because there might be a thinking that, you know, Japanese operational excellence is only in the realm of manufacturing. But every organization needs operational excellence, and community development needs it maybe more than any other. So we have to try and kind of move away from these kind of stereotypes that community development is not as important as these other things. It's extremely important, and it needs the best practice.
Indeed. I have to say sociocracy is a new word for me. Can you define that in a nutshell for us?
Yeah, well, I suppose in terms of emulating what I've been talking about, we're, I suppose, constantly looking at the organisational model and how do we improve it going forward. So sociocracy, it was coined as a phrase maybe back in the 1800s by an American philosopher, and he thought that it might overtake democracy at some point. So it's where citizens basically agree on everything by consent rather than by majority vote. So it requires a lot of discussion, and it requires a lot of good design in terms of what you're proposing. There's some very good systems in there in terms of how to manage meetings and how to manage coordination and communication between groups. So this is really at the essence of what we're talking about here. So those methodologies are there. They're written up. You can learn about them online. And it's a journey that we're just beginning to look at. And because the challenges are so complex and we want to grow, we want to work with other communities around Clubé and Mayo, we need to look at these methodologies to be able to facilitate that.
Okay. I have to say, the Mulroney Community Futures sounds like a tremendous example for anybody in the country who would like to progress development and collaboration and community engagement in their local areas. And information can be found on Mulroney, Mulranny, communityfutures.org, and also on climateconnected.ie. So Sean Carlin, Community Climate Action Officer with Mulroney Community Futures, thank you so much for being with us today, and best of luck with all your new projects going forward.
Thanks very much, Maeve.